If you care to, you may open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Sometimes in these meetings we refer to, in the past we have referred to the discipline. Today we have the degrees to keep. I'm not going to preach on that, but degrees to keep are a reminder to us. What do they say to us? It's not only for counsel and communion time, but it's for all of life, every day. We need to be convinced that that is what they're for and not ignore them. Luke chapter 17. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these, little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plying or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready therewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. So likewise, even ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. The message title is Guarding Ourselves and Others. The text verse is, we have done that which was our duty to do. That's the last part of verse 10. There are four areas that we can think about, maybe more, but four that I have here. You could preach a message on each one. The first is avoiding offense. The second is active forgiveness. The third is the exemplifying the power of faith. The fourth is the strength of humility. Offenses, Jesus says, will come. But woe unto whom, from whom they come. The thought is that we need to guard ourselves, that we are not offensive, that we are looking out for others because of the way we live. We can be a stumbling block, and we can lead others in the wrong direction. We need to guard against those things that are unnecessary in life, that we might be a part of or part of us, that we might be involved in. We need to guard against that, because it may affect someone else that we aren't aware of. The selfish use of liberty. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. It may be taken out of his, that verse may be taken out of his text. But it will apply to all of us in every area of life. We need to guard ourselves that we don't use any liberty that we have in a selfish way, because it may be a stumbling block. In Romans 14, chapter 14, verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. The last part of that verse is what I like to emphasize. Guarding against everything that stumbleth or is offended or is made weak, a brother. Speaking about a brother. It is a duty. He says in this last verse, that, in the text verse, that it is our duty. It is, we are doing which is our duty. But the question is, are we doing it? The duty is ours to do. Because a curse is pronounced. The bow Jesus has referred to there is the same as a curse pronounced on life if we are in any way stumbling anyone. It's a serious matter. We have to think of it continually. We need to be like it says in Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That is where we need to find ourselves. And 1 Corinthians 10:32 is another verse. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. There we are again. We are the church of God. We are not to give any offense to the church of God. And that is a serious matter. Let me look at Peter's life in Matthew 16, 23. Peter said to Jesus, "Be it not so, Lord." Jesus was telling him what's going to happen in his life. And Peter said, "Be it not so, Lord." Peter was thinking on man's level, Jesus is saying. How often is that our lot, that we are thinking on man's level and not on God's level in regards to some of these things that we might be involved in life that will be a real problem to us and to others? Amos chapter 6, verse 4. Here we find Amos addressing Israel because of the way they live. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. There you have the thought of luxurious living. Living in luxury. A tailor-made life. People today like to have a tailor-made life. Everything just the way we want it, according to the flesh. And people like to uphold that life and still claim to be crucified with Jesus Christ. But you know what a divided heart does? A divided heart deadens all our convictions. We won't have any. We cannot represent a mixture and guard ourselves and others if we have a divided heart. We need to put a strong emphasis to avoid offense because it is our duty to do that. Someone has said we are called to unity and not to variety. The test is in meekness and not in misunderstanding. A desire to have a word of God fellowship that is a testimony to the world. Jesus was the only complete, consistent testimony and example that there ever was. Incompleteness. And we can be in Christ, we can be what we ought to be. We are to be like him. Where should we be like him? It's at home, in the brotherhood, to the neighbors, the friends, the business associates, the workplace, the relatives. We cannot be a fit-in example and practice a separated life and believe the Bible is the final authority and have Holy Spirit direction continue to be faithful. Will the variety of Mennonite influence have any effect on us in keeping separated from the world and not be offensive? This has brought questions to us over the years. Questions are these a member at your church? Is this what your church represents? Why are they not disciplined? Are we living for others? What is our offensive example? 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That's living for others. In chapter 21, Jesus says to Peter three times, "Feed my sheep." And the last time in verse 17, His love that he is expressing there to Peter is to the very depth of love that anyone can have. In that third verse, it's what they call the agape love. It's a depth of love that you can't go any deeper than that. And that's what Jesus was saying to Peter, you be an example and feed my sheep with that kind of love. And it is not only for Peter and for the ministry today, but it's for everyone that's here this morning, is to feed and be an example of the depth of love that anyone can go through in Jesus Christ. In verse 3 in chapter 17, it speaks about being continually alert to the enemy of our soul. It says, first of all, it says, give heed to yourselves. Right here, we need to give heed to this person. Before we give any heed to this person, we are not in any position to help anyone else, or not even be an occasion of stumbling. We need to give heed to this person. Then we're only there in a position to help. When we rebuke, we must see that someone is missing the mark. We have no occasion to rebuke anyone unless we see someone that is missing the mark. And that we're to rebuke to be an encouragement to repentance, to build trust and confidence, and have prayer concern, and help to build on the foundation which is Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 3:10. There is no other foundation to build on. And if we're at the place that we don't give any occasion of stumbling, we're building on the foundation. If you're giving any occasion of stumbling, we're building on another foundation. There are many people that are building on other foundations. And we better not be a part of anyone or with anyone building on another foundation. There is no help coming if we do that. The illustration, when I worked in construction work, they built a fireplace in the living room with stone. And the mason had to fit these stones, he had to chip them off. But he forgot about this picture window over here. And every now and then a chip would fly over the stone and hit the picture window. And after a while the owner would say, what about all those marks on that window? We are stones today, same as a mason fits a stone put in a wall or in a fireplace or whatever. We are stones today fitted by Jesus Christ. Those chips that are knocked off, where are they going to? Are they helping someone or are they hindering someone? Extended forgiveness is to be practiced how? There is only one word that defines the extended forgiveness, and none of us know what the depth of that is. It's the word long suffering. We can't continue to the length of it. It's that long, we can't understand it, but it's to be practiced. The extended forgiveness is in long suffering. It has no limits. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's the extent of complete forgiveness that has no limits. And in verse 4, he speaks about, he uses the number 7, which is a complete number. 7 speaks of completeness and continuation again and again and again, and it doesn't end. It doesn't hold back. There's no holding back in complete forgiveness. You know what holding back does? If you're not completely willing to forgive, or we can't have complete forgiveness ourselves. But what it does too is it continues to help us to keep wrong attitudes. It hinders our witness, if you have any at all. It takes away our illumination that we ought to have. It stops our fruit bearing. It takes away our openness to instruction. It makes us a poor steward of the grace of God. All of that will
will happen if we are not willing to fully forgive to the extent that Jesus Christ did. Then forgiveness is half-hearted. It will also be in evidence in other areas. This we see when forgiveness is not the way it ought to be. You see it in the possessions that we have. What kind are the cars that we drive, the way we dress, the hairstyles, and such like things. When forgiveness is not fully evident, those things exemplify themselves, one right after the other. When world trends are followed, no one is in a proper position to be non-offensive or able to forgive in a proper way. Lack of forgiveness is serious. The example that I have here is given from a mental hospital administrator. He said, if people knew what complete and the depth of forgiveness would accomplish when having problems with guilt, he said, I would be able to dismiss half of the patients. Lack of forgiveness brings hurt feelings, wrong attitudes that linger and cause many other problems. In mistreatment, forgiveness is most necessary to have inner peace. We don't have complete forgiveness if we're not willing to forgive. We have no forgiveness complete ourselves, and we have no peace. Has anyone deliberately spit in our face? If they could you forgive them? Could we forgive them if one would deliberately spit in our face? Jesus did. It belongs to the inner experience. With only a form of forgiveness, there will never be any spiritual success. Jesus said in his prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we realize the impact of that message? Here are some helps that I gathered from another source. Begin by assuring yourself that compared to Christ's suffering, we haven't been seriously wronged at all. Amen. Recall the many kind deeds that have been shown to you, to us, perhaps even by the person who has harmed us. List the benefits you have received from the Lord. Thank him for continually blessing us with his love and forgiveness each day. Where would we be if you wouldn't have that every day? Make an honest effort to pray for the one who has injured us. Go even further by looking for an opportunity to help them. If the offense is especially hard to forget, try to erase the unhappy memory by thinking gracious and generous thoughts. Finally, before you fall asleep at night, repeat slowly and thoughtfully that phrase from the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And it is said, what would happen if Christians today would heed that message? It would stir the churches, awaken the saints, and convict the sinners, and cause rejoicing in the presence of angels, the angels of God. Amen. The strength of forgiveness. What is it? Sometimes we work for a week and over. This week we're going to get time and a half, maybe double time, and maybe an extra bonus. But here we have a bonus that is above all of those, a spiritual bonus that we can't get anywhere else by giving ourselves over completely in forgiveness to him. All the plus that we can ever have. We invite defeat by not fully accepting forgiveness or fully forgiving. When Jesus stops forgiving, then we can stop. When we continue with Jesus, we have that active forgiveness. Increase our faith. When the disciples saw all that Jesus presented to them, then they said, increase our faith. And we hear this morning when we see all that Jesus has involved us in and what he wants us to do and accomplish. Oh, we'll have to say, increase our faith. You know, if the first two, or the first three, maybe you get three out there, I'm thinking about two primarily. But if we do not have those in our life, we will not be able to have an increase of faith. It can't happen unless we have been living in non-offensive living and in complete forgiveness. We cannot have an increase of faith. Increase our faith, a strong desire for faith power. Oh, we'd like to have faith power. Something that'll lift us up out of this world and get us going like it never has before. More faith needed. The link that connects us with Jesus Christ and helps us to love, be humble, not be offensive, have complete forgiveness. These inseparable groups of helps for everyday living. A faith that works by love, Galatians 5:6. Love makes faith complete and adds to all the other essentials of the Christian experience. Faith, the overcoming victory. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This morning, we need to ask ourselves and check our lives to see if we have the mustard variety of faith. If we want an increase of faith, is that where it begins? The mustard variety of faith. Jesus said we're to be like little children. And someone has said little folks have large faith. Why do they? Because they rely on their parents usually to see them through and their needs supplied. And that's how we need to do with our Heavenly Father. Amen. A growing motivating faith that comes from complete forgiveness and non-offensiveness. This is where the power begins. Union with Jesus Christ is having faith, love, humility, forgiveness. What does it summarize up to? It summarizes up to something that everybody likes to have. It's the assurance that we can be with our Father in eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Being a new creature, the formula that removes aloneness, guilt, fear, having a belonging, a worthwhileness, a confidence that sin had undermined by guilt and fear. Living by faith is coming out of living by faith is coming out of the fire and not smell of smoke. It's the same as coming out of the world and not continue on in the world practices. How many signs of worldliness are still hanging on? If we have signs of worldliness that have problem with, we have no peace. All we'll have is turmoil and heartaches. We follow the route of worldliness. We see in this chapter that Jesus talks about by having enough of faith to remove that tree and it is cast out into the depth of the sea. And in Matthew, he speaks about a mountain. Why this morning would we want a tree removed or a mountain? Jesus said we're to have that kind of faith. Why would you say we have a mountain right back of our house or right in front of it? And we'd ask the Lord, now we'll ask you to remove this. Why would we do it? Or a big tree that would take the vision away of something we'd like to look at. Why would we ask God to do that? But generally, that kind of thinking is pride. It's not necessary to have that mountain removed in back of our house, and I don't think Jesus meant that at all. Or the tree. But he wanted us to get a vision of the kind of faith that we need to have to see it through this life. And if it isn't that, it's pride. Not pride, but faith. Pride is the opposite of faith. Someone has said like this, pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. The unlimited blessings of faith our prayer, prayer answer to obstacles overcome. This is why I think Jesus was speaking about to help us to overcome obstacles, not have that mountain removed back of the house or the tree or whatever, but to have us think about the obstacles that might be in my life. Now, Paul had an obstacle in his life and he wanted it removed, but he didn't remove it. How many of us here this morning are living with an obstacle in their life that the Lord wants us to keep there to refine us and increase our faith and help us to apply the grace to live with it, like he did Paul? He may remove obstacles in our life. There were those that the God healed miraculously. He removed that obstacle of infirmity or whatever it was. But there are others that he never removed it. But he gave them the grace to live by it. And that's the only way that we can accept life. If we call upon God, it's your will. If you want to remove that obstacle in my life, all right. But if not, I'll accept it that way. And I'm going to live by faith in whatever you do for me. This is what helps us. And helps us to see where we belong in God's program. If we can't find our place and fit into God's work and program, we are missing the mark. And we need some spiritual help. This gives us a complete hope for the future when we're resigned to whatever God brings into my life. And I'm resigned to that. The power to be a living example and not be ashamed of Jesus Christ our Lord. We claim to be a fire for God. But we must, by faith and forgiveness and non-offensiveness, is the only way that we can have the fire within us and able to accept life as the work of God in us. The more faith, if we need more faith inspiration, will we have to continue to read Hebrews chapter 11. That's our duty to do if we need a more increase of faith. Verse 7 and 8 in this chapter speak of humility that brings us to the peace, to the place of faith, love, and forgiveness. When we are in the place of humility, we do not easily stumble, or we do not easily give an occasion for others to stumble. The servant or service aspect of life in Ephesians 6, 5 to 8, I'm not going to read that, those are familiar verses, but it speaks of a single heart. We cannot have a divided heart, like I've said a while ago. We need to have a single heart, one that has their mind and heart fixed on Jesus Christ and no other. That the word of God, it says in 1 Timothy 6, 1, we need to do this so the word of God is not blasphemed. When we profess to be something that we are not, we're blaspheming the word of God because we're not doing what it says. Serving acceptably is our duty to do. This will show if our faith, love, forgiveness, humility, obedience, and non-offensiveness is to the glory of God. Our separation, uniformity, conviction must stay strong. We cannot be a zero church or a zero church member and pass the test unless we do what was our duty to do. Are we willing to sacrifice, go out of the way, so we're not an offense, or so we can be a complete forgiver? Or so we can portray humility? Or have an increase of faith? Are we willing to sacrifice and go out of the way to do that? Jesus Christ does not owe us anything, but we owe our all to him. We may lose all by not having a genuine love and forgiveness. God's work is complete only in Jesus Christ. What we may do or not do will not change his work. What we do about it, what he has done for us, makes all the difference. We must put forth effort to have the best peace testimony that is possible to have. And this we have in Hebrews 12:14. That's our duty, to do the best peace testimony that anyone can have. Humility and love admits we are in need of help.
Humility and love holds nothing back. Being an unoffensive, having full forgiveness, complete service, to have an increase of faith, are we doing what was our duty to do? Is our goal complete? It only will be with forgiveness and peace. My peace testimony is that I have peace with God and man. As far as I know, I'm in full harmony with the degrees to keep of the church that it represents. I believe it's a vital part of what we need to exemplify and live by. Just like when we grew up, we didn't understand everything our parents wanted us to do, but they knew what was best. You only see it later on. I think that's similar with some of the degrees to keep that some people have, maybe have a problem with or don't understand it. But it's for our benefit and our good and our peace testimony that we're submissive to whatever is asked of. That's the place that I want to be. I want to be submissive and fully surrendered. Even though my thinking maybe isn't always the same like everybody else's, but we need to work together for the harmony and good and unity of the church. I desire communion. I'm willing to and open to anything that you want to present to me that you see that should be different or changed. I'm just here as a weak, frail being, thinking my race is just about run. So we need to look beyond ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us, then we can only be a benefit to, in building His kingdom. May our efforts and goals be centered in Jesus Christ our Lord, because it's the only way that He can come through victorious. May we kneel for prayer.